Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, that's sobering, isn't it? That portion of Scripture there, Hebrews chapter 11. Just want to read one verse there, in Hebrews 11, verse number 7. Also speaking of Noah, the Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." I want to preach from that first part of that verse where it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." If the Lord would help me this morning, I want to simply preach on this subject, a pattern of preparation. I believe Noah gave us a wonderful pattern here to follow in order to be prepared. When I begin to read in Matthew, and there's no telling how many times we as church members have heard those verses in Matthew quoted or read or preached from, and no telling how many times we've read them ourselves, where the Bible speaks of Noah, and as it were, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Right. We've heard that. We've read that. We've studied that. Right. And there was some things that really caught my attention last night and this morning when I was preparing for this message. The Bible said they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Right. It don't mention anything horrible right there. Those are just natural things that are going on. In fact, y'all had a wedding just out of this church yesterday. Those are things that are just continually going on. There's none of us that believe you shouldn't eat, is there? Amen. I mean, I don't think I've never ran across anybody that was so far out there. They preached against eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. I mean, these are just normal things that come across our way of life, things that we partake of day in and day out. But the Bible said they were doing these things that were not necessarily wrong, but yet they were unprepared to meet the Lord at His coming. Boy, that sobered my heart yesterday, because we know that Noah's generation was one of the most wicked generations that the world has ever seen. They got so bad that God cut them off from the rest of the world. And our generation is ripe for the judgment of God. But God don't mention any horrible sins when He mentions what was going on in Noah's day. In fact, He mentions no sin. He said simply they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And I wanted to preach to us this morning that there are things that can invade our life to the point that we could be unprepared, even though those things are not necessarily wrong. But Noah, in the midst of everything that was going on, the wicked and the good, Noah purposed in his heart that he would prepare to meet the Lord. He placed his faith in an ark that God had instructed him to build. Amen. Noah placed his faith in that ark that God had instructed him to build. But I'd like to preach to us today, we must place our faith in a Savior. Amen. We must place our faith in a Savior who has bled and died and paid the ultimate price for our salvation. You know, in the world that we live in, Brother George Brim, there's a lot of people that's doing wicked acts. There's a lot of people that's sinning against God and doing things contrary to the Word of God. But also there's a group of people that live morally right. They live morally pure. They show up at the church house on Sunday morning. They come to church. They pay their tithes faithfully, but yet they're not prepared to meet the Lord. What a sad fact that those that live morally right, that live morally straight, that did everything according to the commandments, are not ready to meet the Lord. We see a young man in the Scripture that comes running to the Lord. The Bible gives us a wonderful picture of a young man that comes running to the Lord. He falls down, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looked at that man. He's rich, he's young. We would probably put him in as a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader. But Jesus looked at that man and said, "One thing thou lackest." He looked into the heart of the matter and seen there was something in the heart of the matter. This young man was not ready for the kingdom of God. Oh, I tell you, we may look good this morning, but I wonder this morning, as the imminent approach of the Lord is on its way, I wonder this morning if we are ready to meet the Lord. Amen. I said, I wonder if we are ready to meet the Lord. The ark in the Old Testament was a wonderful picture of salvation in the Old Testament. Amen. It points us toward one that would come to be our ark of safety, to be our ark of refuge in a troubled world that we are living in. And everything in the Old Testament, the types and the shadows point toward a hill called Calvary, where Jesus would pay the ultimate price for our salvation. The Bible shows us over and over that man will not survive the wrath of God without salvation in his life. Amen. The flood was a picture of God's wrath upon a world that was ripe for the wrath of God. Amen. They were so contrary to the Word of God, so contrary to what God taught. But look at our world today. I believe our world is ripe for the wrath of God. Don't you? Amen. So many people are doing so many things that are contrary to the Word of God. But the Bible says of Noah that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wouldn't you like to find grace in the sight of the Lord today? Amen. I want to point out two or three things that Noah did that I believe we also must do. And then I'll be done. I know one thing about churches. They're universal. At Sunday morning, 12 o'clock, you know, that's pretty much where you draw the line. So I'll be brief this morning. But the first thing I want you to look at about Noah is Noah looked ahead by faith. Amen. Noah looked beyond what was going on by faith and seen that the Lord had warned him of things to come. I believe one of the curses of our generation is people that live simply for the moment. Amen. They don't look beyond just the moment. They live just for the moment. They spend their money just for the moment. They spend their thrills and their time just living for the moment. They don't look ahead to see what's coming upon this world in the future. They just look and live just for the moment. They abuse substances. This world abuses alcohol and drugs. Just living for the moment. You could not tell me that if they looked ahead to see what that life would lead to, that they would be involved in that lifestyle. But they just live just for the moment. I noticed, not last night, but the night before when we drove in, it was kind of late. We'd left Elko and done some things on the way. And we drove by this little tavern, wherever it's at, up this direction. And I mean, it was packed out. Friday night is packed out. Everybody was getting their thrills and their fun. But you know, those same types of people usually are not the ones that are in church on Sunday morning. They live just for the moment. They live for right now. If I can get a high right now, if I can just get out of this world just for a moment, I won't worry about the after effects of it. I won't worry about what happens tomorrow. If I can just live just for the moment. Amen. And we're living in that type of generation that lives just for the moment. They get their highs. They get their thrills. They forget about what's going to happen tomorrow when they wake up with a busting headache or they wake up with the after effects of drug and alcohol. They just live just simply for the moment. That's all they're concerned about. We live in a society. We raise our young folks in a society where people are living simply for the moment. Amen. In fact, while I've been up here just a couple of days ago, Dad called me and there was an accident that happened at home. There was a young man. I'd went to youth camp with him, associated with him. He's a couple years older than me, but him and his buddies got out and they was abusing substances, drugs, and alcohol. And they went over a bridge where there's a river there. And in our part of the country, it's been raining a lot and flooding. This river was out of its banks. And this young man said, "Stop right here on this bridge." And on that bridge, he said, "Watch this, guys!" And he jumped off. In a drunken stupor, he jumped off into that river. And as far as I know, they hadn't found his body since. Just living for the moment. Just living for right now. Not concerned about tomorrow. Not concerned about eternity. Just living for the moment. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, where our text was, you drop down to verse number 25. The Bible tells us of a man named Moses who made his decision not based on the moment, but he looked ahead and saw that sin only lasted just for a season. And the Bible said he realized that and he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy sin just for a season. My God, I wish we could realize there's an afterlife. There's something beyond the moment right now. There's something that we must look ahead to and base our decisions not on the moment but on what lies ahead in our life. Amen. In the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, "In the last days scoffers would come, walking after their own lust, saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they were since the beginning.'" I know a lot of people wake up and knowing the Scripture, knowing what the Word of God says, they look at the paper and they look at everything that's going on and they say, "Well, it's just going on like it was." But I noticed something in this passage in 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible said, "Walking after their own lust." Saying, "Where is the promise of His coming?" It looks like to me, if I can illustrate it, they're just walking after their own things.
They're looking at a career. They're looking at what they've got to do in life. And they're walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? Instead of looking to the Word of God and looking to what the Lord is saying in our generation. Instead of looking up and realizing the signs of the times are pointing that the Lord is soon coming back for His church. My Lord, I want to be ready, don't you? Amen. The Bible said, in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It seems like to me the church house ought to be full this morning with people realizing that the imminent approach or the imminent return of the Lord is here today. Amen. Another thing I want you to notice about Noah is Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear. Amen. I believe you've got to separate that almost into two factions. Because first of all, everyone will receive a warning. Amen. It's universal. It comes to everyone. Everyone will receive the warning from God. And the Bible said Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear. Amen. There's a lot of people that's being warned today, but yet they're not moving towards God. And I tell you this morning, the gospel demands a response. Amen. And also, the gospel gets a response. Whether you realize it or not, the gospel always gets a response. I don't think sometimes we realize how powerful the Word of God is. You're going to respond one or two ways. You're either going to be drawn closer to God or you're going to be pushed farther away from God. But you will respond to the Word of God. But Noah, first of all, being warned by God, he moved with fear. Oh, I tell you, I believe the warning's going forth in this hour, don't you? Amen. There's a lot of churches that may not even believe like we believe this morning. There may be different groups or different factions of religion that don't even believe like we do, but still they hear the warning from God. They get enough of the Word of God to know that the Lord is coming back. They get enough from the Scripture, from reading and hearing the Word of God. They get enough Scripture to realize the Lord is coming back. But I tell you, it takes more than just hearing the Word of God. You must move in response to the Word of God. Noah heard the voice of God. But the second thing Noah done is he responded to the gospel. He moved with fear and started making the necessary arrangements to know and to realize that the Lord is coming back is not enough. We must also move with fear. Amen. That was not a scared or a frightened state that Noah was in. He just had an awesome respect for God. And realized that if God's Word said it, God's will also perform what God's Word said. And the Bible said Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Amen. I wonder today how much moving we're doing in preparation for the coming of the Lord. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. If you have any wisdom, if you have any fear of God, I believe you'll be moving in this generation to prepare for the coming of the Lord. If we really believe His Word, I'm not going to preach much longer, but if we really believe His Word, I believe it'll prompt us to move in the direction of God. Amen. Somebody said it like this, until what we believe affects the way that we behave, we've really not begun to believe. And I really believe that's right, don't you? Amen. Until what we believe affects our actions that we do and that we perform, we've really not begun to believe the Word of God. I believe everybody in here this morning, if I was to ask the question, do you believe God's Word? I believe you'd raise your hand. That's why you're here this morning. That's why you come for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. But I wonder how much action is in our lives that's causing us to move in the direction of God. If we really believe what we say we believe this morning, we'll be prompted into action to live closer to God than what we've ever lived before. Amen. And the third thing I want to point out in just a few minutes, I'll be done, is the Bible said that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Noah's whole family was benefited by what he done. Amen. And I want to preach to you this morning that your family will also be benefited by the move that you make towards the ark. Amen. I said your family will be benefited by your move that you make towards the ark. I know you're saying, preacher, I don't have much talent. I don't have much ability, but I'm telling you, there's people watching your life. There's neighbors and friends and family that are watching your life. And when you make a move in the direction of the ark, you're going to spark somebody's curiosity and somebody's going to say, hey, they're making a move toward the direction of the ark. Amen. You can't tell me that Noah preached righteousness for 100 years and nobody was intrigued or enticed by what Noah was doing. Amen. There were people that were intrigued by what Noah was doing. But they just simply did not believe the Word of God. You ever heard that old song? It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. The rush for the door didn't start until it grew dark. I'm telling you, when those raindrops started falling and the thunder started sounding, there was people that said, you know what? Noah preached to us this was coming. Yeah, Noah preached to us this was coming. There was probably some people knocking on the door of the ark. I'm telling you, it's too late after the rain started falling. Amen. I tell you, we've got to make a move before the judgment of God is come. Amen. I said, we must make a move before the judgment of God is pronounced upon this old world. You will affect your household. I said, you will affect your household by the direction that you move in these last days. There's too many people that's drawing back from the presence of the Lord instead of moving closer to the ark. Even Noah and his house was involved in eating and drinking, marrying. The Bible said it was Noah, his wife, his three sons, their wives. They was involved in this. They was involved in what was going on in the world to a certain extent. And I'm telling you, brother, they was also preparing for another world. I said they was also preparing for another world, and that's what we must do. We must get our priorities in order that we build an ark for the saving of our house. I know we're not going to get out this morning and build a boat, but I'm telling you the actions that we do is going to cause us to build a habitation in which God can dwell. And I tell you what blessed me so much about this story, and I ain't got time to preach it all. I've got a lot that I can't get to. But what blessed me so much about this story is when it finally was done, the ark was prepared, just like God said it needed to be prepared. And Noah was done with it. God didn't say, Noah, you and your household go into the ark. Amen. You read it in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 7. God said, Noah, come into the ark. The actions that Noah done caused Noah to build a habitation for God. Amen. I said the actions that Noah done caused him to build a habitation for God. And when it came time for the rain, God said, Noah, you come on into the ark. I'm telling you, the actions that you perform this morning will also cause you to hear the call of God come in. Amen. I said you're going to hear the call of God to come into His presence. I believe His presence is found in the ark of safety, don't you? Amen. And the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. I'm telling you, I believe we can run into where God is at and we can be safe. I know we're not talking about an ark. I believe you understand me this morning. We're not talking about a physical boat, but we're talking about a place of safety that we can run into this morning and be safe from the wrath of God. Sister Ruth, my wife had to step out if you don't mind coming. Can we have an altar service this morning, Brother Brim? I suppose y'all do that on Sunday morning. Amen. Would you stand with me, church? I didn't have time to get to all of it this morning, but I wanted to preach to you that Noah give us a pattern of preparation that I believe would do us good to follow. I believe it would do us good to look at Noah's life and see, first of all, by faith, he looked ahead. Secondly, when he was warned of God, he moved in the direction of God. And thirdly, he built a preparation place. He built a house that his family could abide in and be safe from the destruction that was coming upon the world. And I'm telling you, God's warning us in this generation to be ready. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I believe we need to make preparation to meet God, don't you? I believe we need to make preparation to meet the Lord for His soon return. Could we find a place around this altar? Could we come, as many as will, find a place around this altar?